This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon. You're listening to EN4 News. I'm Maria Grant, and here are the headlines of the day. The SNP conference comes to an end in Glasgow today. The First Minister's speech is underway, and Nicola Sturgeon is promoting a message of hope and optimism to her party. The City of Edinburgh Council has spent over £8.4 million last year on expert consultants, it has been revealed. This includes £1.5 million on the tram extensions before councillors had approved the project. Contractors for the Meadowbank Sports Centre redevelopment are set to be chosen this week, despite questions over the council's funding. The £45 million project is facing a £24 million shortfall. Coming up later in the programme, the City of Edinburgh Council has announced that 180 on-street bike parking units are to be installed across the city centre over the next 2 years. And today is the 40th anniversary of Edinburgh's landmark cinema, the Film House, and we headed down to be part of the celebrations.
We started our first public screening was in October 1978, and it was The Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant by Rainer Werner Fassbinder. So kind of go big or go home. It was quite a strong curatorial choice right at the start.
But first, here is David Paul with the top stories of the day.
Thanks, Maria. The First Minister is currently closing the Scottish National Party conference. Nicola Sturgeon is expected to discuss Brexit issues in Westminster and attempt to promote a message of hope and optimism to her party. MSPs have been meeting over the past 3 days to discuss a wide range of issues, from migration to Scotland from the EU to CPR training in Scottish schools. A fire has ripped through a bar in Edinburgh's city centre. Several fire engines were seen rushing to Bada Bing's in Fountain Bridge to tackle the blaze that started at around 2 a.m. on Tuesday. The fire has now been put out and crews are currently assessing the damage to property. Local resident Martin Stevens spoke to EN4 News about what he saw.
I came along the canal and for a distance I could see Bada Bing fully in flames. I got there about 2:30. The fire brigade were called at 2:10, so it could only be on the go 20 minutes, but it was well alight, even in 20 minutes.
A 27-year-old man who was born in prison has been put back behind bars after going on the run during a period of home leave. Ross Anderson was given leave to go home from Castle Huntly Prison, but breached strict prison restrictions after getting drunk. His licence was revoked, but he failed to return to prison, going missing for 3 days before being traced at the Glasgow Green Hockey Centre. Anderson made no plea and the case against him was continued for further examination. The leader of the Democratic Unionists says that she hasn't seen any new documents from Downing Street on how to solve the issue of the Irish border after Brexit. Arlene Foster repeatedly dodged questions about whether she'd veto any proposed deal by Theresa May. She's currently in Brussels, where she says she's had a useful meeting with the EU's lead Brexit negotiator. Meanwhile, the International Development Secretary says people need to let the Prime Minister get on with it. Penny Mordaunt was a supporter of Leave during the referendum, and it was thought that she could be opposed to Theresa May's plans, but she insists that she is backing her.
The Prime Minister can count on my support, but what I would say is that we don't know where this is going to end up. I mean, we're at a critical moment now. The issue currently is that the ball is firmly back in the EU's court.
A waste disposal contractor has been stripped of its NHS contracts after body parts are allowed to pile up at its facilities. The problems were first announced at the end of July. Health Minister Stephen Barclay says Healthcare Environment Services failed to demonstrate that they were operating within their contractual limits. He said that arrangements are being made to replace the companies by Environmental Healthcare Services. The government says that there was absolutely no risk posed to the health of patients or the wider public. That's your local and national news. Back to Maria.
Thank you, David. The 84th annual Scottish National Party Conference comes to a close today in Glasgow. The SNP have tried to make the conference a beacon of hope and optimism for Scotland in the middle of the Brexit negotiations. Our political correspondent, Ellen Beaton, is in Glasgow with the latest news.
Hope is the tagline for this year's Scottish National Party Autumn Conference. Commencing on Sunday, around 3,000 party members have filed into the Scottish Events Campus Centre here in Glasgow to take part in all things SNP. As the conference draws to a close this afternoon, it's clear that one big issue has dominated the agenda throughout, and for once, it has not been independence. When it comes to Brexit and all that it means for the future of Scottish independence, what party members here seem to be hoping for is clarity.
final day of the conference. We're just looking for an affirmation of where the most members stand, and that is like patiently waiting for the kick-off for the second referendum.
Basically, hopefully, we'll get a wee for Westminster.
Are you looking for a date?
A date, as soon as possible.
Today, I'm looking to get a clear sort of signal of where we're heading as a country, and I think that the sort of inspirational speech that the First Minister is going to give, surely, because they're always inspirational, will give me that.
The Constitution Secretary, Michael Russell, used his address this morning to warn against pursuing a second independence referendum before the right moment had arrived. Russell urged party members and politicians not to be impatient, saying that the case for Scottish independence was closely tied to the uncertainty of Brexit. His statement closely matches what the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, has said in recent days. The First Minister has been reluctant to name a date for a possible referendum until the Brexit process has developed further. There are signs amongst the membership and from some politicians in the party that suggest a growing division on when the right time for a referendum might be. Over the course of the conference, several high-profile politicians have spoken out, contradicting the official position of the party, including Joanna Cherry, MP for Edinburgh South West, who suggested that Scotland might not even need a referendum in order to claim independence. The First Minister was quick to distance herself from these remarks. In addition, the party conference has come days after around 20,000 independent supporters marched through Edinburgh, chanting with a sense of urgency for a second referendum. The tension between the membership of the party and the leadership continues to grow as the anticipation to begin a campaigning for a second referendum builds. When asked, Hamza Yousaf, the Scottish Justice Minister, said that he couldn't say when the right time would be.
If the question is, when is the next independence referendum? I echo what Mike Russell says. He's absolutely right. We have to do it at a time when we think we're going to win. We think that the argument's there, and when we think people want there to be another referendum. Any time before that, then actually, you know, it is going to be simply ineffective and probably we'll end up losing a referendum. So, to me, I would just say to people, there needs to be patience, there needs to be an understanding that we have to take the Scottish public with us, and it has to be guided for when we think the time is absolutely right. And I don't have an answer of when that is, I don't have that crystal ball, but the campaigning for independence should take place right now.
In regards to Brexit, the party has made much more concrete promises. Yesterday, the Westminster leader, Ian Blackford, committed the party to what he called maximum disruption of Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal.
Friends, when the time comes to vote on the Brexit deal, the only deal we will accept is one that keeps Scotland in the single market and the customs union. Any other deal sells us short.
Nicola Sturgeon is due to close the conference with a speech this afternoon. While it's unlikely that the First Minister will use her speech to make any announcements concerning a date for an independence referendum, members still hope for a hint that it might come soon. Ellen Beaton, EN4 News.
We've got Ellen Beaton with us on the phone from Glasgow. Are you there, Ellen?
Hello, yes, good afternoon. How's it going?
Brilliant. Now, what is happening in Glasgow at the moment, Ellen?
Well, the First Minister has just gone up to give her conference speech just now. She's closing the conference today. And she was introduced by Keith Brown, the deputy leader, who encouraged everybody to be as noisy as possible. So standing outside the auditorium just now, you can really feel that. There's not very clear as to what we'll get from her at the moment because she has just started, but she's touched already on a few things about independence, making the analogy more or less that slow and steady wins the race. So I don't think we're going to hear very much more on that account today.
What else has happened today?
So earlier on today, we heard from Michael Russell, who's the Constitution Minister. He talked a lot about patience, about being strong of will. He actually quoted Tennyson, the poet, in his speech. He sort of framed the current independence situation as a matter of restraint for the SNP. He argued that Brexit was a big threat, not just to the prospects of independence, but actually to devolution. Derek Mackay, the former finance minister, now finance and economy minister, went up. He talked a lot about his promotion and how the tax system in Scotland under him was now the fairest in the UK. And his ultimate point was that the block grant is still the big issue and that austerity is the price of staying in the union.
That's great. Thank you very much. That was Ellen Beaton with us here on EN4 News from Glasgow. The redevelopment of the Meadowbank Sports Centre has run into further controversy this week. The project was estimated to cost £45 million, but a funding proposal has revealed a shortfall of £24 million. A construction company is due to be selected this week in order for plans to go ahead. Our reporter Scott Hope has the story.
Funding concerns are hanging over the redevelopment of the Meadowbank Sports Centre as the council are to put forward their plans for financing the project this Thursday. The £45 million redevelopment of the important athletic site has been a cause of strain between the council and community over its new design and how the project is to be funded. £24 million for the redevelopment is to come from building 300 homes and other residential buildings on the remainder of the Meadowbank site and selling the Pitts Leisure site in Portobello. However, a recent report to the council's finance committee has warned that this £24 million in funding is not secure and should not be relied on. But with the drafting of this uncertain proposal receiving no consultation from the local community, tensions have flared again between campaigners and the council. Russell McLarty, a spokesperson for local activists Save Meadowbank, say the council needs to listen to campaigners' concerns.
If they did a more measured approach and look at different options for the overall development of the site and options for funding, including borrowing, then, you know, it might have come up with something better. But they're pushing ahead and constrained by the desire to produce a sports centre, and I understand that. But the council seem to have gone about this the wrong way around.
Despite the friction over how the project should be carried out, everyone agrees that the site should be redeveloped. Having hosted the Commonwealth Games, Olympians such as Sir Chris Hoy, and local professional football teams, the site is an important part of Edinburgh's sporting heritage. Local Green Party MSP Alison Johnson says Edinburgh has fallen behind as a leader in sports, and a new Meadowbank Sports Centre can help change that.
I think Edinburgh, world renowned for our architecture and our arts, has possibly relied on these overwhelmingly to attract and retain people in the city. But we have a growing population. You know, it's growing rapidly. This is one of the fastest growing areas in Scotland. And I don't think our offering in terms of sports is keeping up with the demand. So I think the council have to be serious about this.
The council have committed to reviving the site's sports facilities, promising in a press release a state-of-the-art sports centre at Meadowbank. Despite negotiations to further take place with the local community, it remains doubtful as to how much the community will be heard and whether the funding issues will be resolved. Scott Hope, EN4 News.
Now, a story regarding the City of Edinburgh Council's expenditure into expert consultancy fees that have totalled £8.4 million in the last year. Our political correspondent Ross Fraser joins us in the studio to discuss these numbers and what they mean.
So, to start off with a brief overview, these figures are collected on an annual basis, which this year actually seeing a reduction in expenditure for outsourcing. These consultants are brought in by Edinburgh Council to work on major services around the city that the council itself cannot place in its own resources to.
So what kind of works are we talking about in Edinburgh?
Well, I'll give you an example here. The Conservatives have criticised the SNP and the Labour administration over figures of £1.5 million, which has been paid out to three different consultancy firms regarding an extension to the tram line. Now, the council won't vote on this until December, but some see quite large investment as a strange thing to do just before it's been decided on.
So have you spoke to anyone that has influence over these matters in the council?
Yeah, I did. I managed to speak to Neil Ross. He's a Lib Dem and he sits in the Finance and Resources Committee. He told me that he'd like to see less consultancy fees by the council, but he understands that in an ideal world and with the council's budget, they can't really stretch that on their own.
That's great. Thank you very much, Ross. Now, a quick reminder of today's headlines here at EN4 News. First Minister Nicola Sturgeon is currently speaking at the SNP party conference in Glasgow. The redevelopment of Meadowbank Sports Centre is facing a potential budget shortfall of £24 million. And, following the aftermath of the Fringe Festival, residents are calling for fines on organisers who fail to remove their posters. Now, over to David Paul for a look at international news.
Thanks, Maria. After a controversial confirmation process, Brett Kavanaugh has now been sworn in to his position in the US Supreme Court. Kavanaugh's nomination by President Trump saw opposition after the judge was accused of sexual assault by a former high school classmate. However, the judge was cleared of any wrongdoing. Some Democrat politicians, unhappy with the result, are calling for Kavanaugh's impeachment. In a speech today, he spoke on the controversies surrounding his nomination, but insisted it would not change his methods.
Although the Senate confirmation process tested me, as it has tested others, it did not change me. My approach to judging remains the same. A good judge must be an umpire, a neutral and impartial decider who favors no litigant or policy.
Following the disappearance of a Saudi journalist in Turkey, Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt has met with the Saudi Prime Minister today in an attempt to clarify the missing man's situation. The journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, was last seen entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Turkish authorities have suggested he may have been murdered there, but Saudi Arabia denies the suggestion. New details have emerged following a limousine crash in the state of New York yesterday, which killed 20. The incident has become the worst US road tragedy in a decade. American National Transport Safety Board records have revealed the driver of the limo was not properly licensed, and the limo itself had failed recent safety inspections. Robert Sumwalt from the NTSB says they'll be fully investigating the limousine firm.
The company's safety culture, the company's records of prior crashes, their management of drivers, their fatigue management program, vehicle maintenance, driver fitness for duty. We want to look at everything that we can.
And that's all for our international news. Now back to Maria.
Thank you, David. Following the announcement that 180 on-street bike parking units are to be installed across the city centre over the next 2 years, it was revealed yesterday that each storage unit could cost up to £84 a year to rent. Despite this high cost, the council hopes the project will get more people to take up cycling instead of using cars and buses. Our reporter Linnea Lind has the story.
Lots of people cycle in Edinburgh, but it has long been an issue to find appropriate parking for cyclists. At the end of last week, City of Edinburgh's council announced that 180 on-street bike storage units are to be installed in the city centre over the next 2 years. Vice Transport and Environment Convener Councillor Karen Doran spoke to us about the plans.
On February 2012, the Transport, Infrastructure and Environment Committee approved a pilot project. And the pilot was rolled out in Lonsdale Terrace, Wander Park Terrace, South Oxford Street and Douglas Crescent and was highly successful. It was thereafter agreed in November 2016 that approval be given for a further rollout of the scheme. So this is our next step forward where we're actually getting them, which is really exciting. And we had proposed at the last Transport and Environment Committee on Thursday the 4th of October that we would go ahead with this.
The cycle storage units were initially introduced in July 2014 when the Transport and Environment Committee introduced units in the South Side and West End. The aim of the project is to encourage people to cycle more and reduce issues with bikes left in flat stairwells and tenements. The leases will cost up to £84 per year, which is more than some car parking permits in the outskirts of the city. Councillor Chas Booth, Edinburgh's Green Transport spokesman, said he supports the initiative but believes the cost is too high.
If we're proposing to charge up to £84 for a cycle parking space, I don't think that sends the right message. I think that the council should be saying loud and clear that we support active travel, we support people walking and cycling, and one of the ways that we're going to do that is by sending a clear price message, in other words, that cycling and walking should be cheaper than using less sustainable modes of transport, specifically the car.
Time will tell whether or not the new central cycle units will be as successful as the old ones, but it's a positive step for cyclists in Edinburgh. Linnea Lind, EN4 News.
Residents have called for the City of Edinburgh Council to fine organisers who failed to remove posters in the city centre. Following the aftermath of the fringe festivals, locals in the South Side area have suggested imposing sanctions on events organisations. Amir Harrison reports from the streets of Edinburgh.
Months after the crowds have departed and the Edinburgh fringe shows have ended, the problems that come with hosting one of the world's largest art festivals remains. Proposals have been put forward to the council to impose £50 fines on event organisers who fail to remove advertisement posters within an appropriate timeframe. Residents of the South Side area of Edinburgh have been left frustrated by fly posting, where advertising is illegally placed. Green Party councillor Steve Burgess of the Southside and Newington area discussed the topic at the Transport and Environment Committee meeting last Thursday.
I understand very much how strongly residents feel about this issue.
But it really did work because they knew that there would be a letter threatening a £50 fine.
I think we're very happy with that because it puts an element of control on it.
EN4 News spoke to Tamara Cohen from Striplight Productions about how poster fines could affect small businesses.
I think we'd probably carry on as we are. I tend to avoid fly postering. I think I can understand why some people do, because we have acts that spend hundreds of pounds on the official boards and everything, which if you have a budget, that's great. But if you don't have that budget, you've probably spent a couple of hundred quid on the design, another £100 on the printing of the posters, and you're just so desperate to get your name out there that I think that a lot of people, it won't stop, or they think they can get away with it.
We took to the streets of Edinburgh to gauge public opinion.
I would argue that you need to implement some other things first and different measures before jumping the gun and going for fining.
Yeah, that sounds fair enough. They've not taken down that poster, I suppose that comes pollution eventually, so yeah, why not?
With discussions still ongoing, residents may have to wait until next August before improvements are seen. Emer Harrison, EN4 News.
That was Emer Harrison speaking to residents of Edinburgh about fly posting. Now, over to John Menzies for the sports news.
Thank you, Maria. Edinburgh Rugby face a tough test in the Champions Cup this weekend. It will be their return to the competition after a half-decade absence. Our reporter, Bryce Donaldson, was at Murrayfield and has more on the club's chances to cause an upset against difficult opposition.
Edinburgh Rugby will go into their first Champions Cup match on a high after beating South African side the Toyota Cheetahs 37 points to 21 on Friday night. Their next match against French giants Montpellier will mark their return to the elite European competition after having not qualified for the past 5 years. Montpellier currently sit fourth in the French league, having won their past three games, and are overwhelming favourites to come out on top against the Scottish Capitals side this Saturday. They host an array of experienced players who have battled at the top level for many years, such as Bismarck Dupuis and Louis Picamoult. However, for many Edinburgh players, this will be a new challenge. Edinburgh's head coach Richard Cockerill emphasised the need for his team to make the most of limited chances, but he has said he has realistic expectations for his young squad.
There is no pressure on us to win the competition, so I'm sure there will be at Montpellier or Toulon and other big teams to go deep into the competition, but how realistic that is for us at this point is we'll see. But I'll be more than delighted if we get something out of the game at the weekend.
Darcy Graham made his first start for the club since February against the Cheetahs, but has impressed coaches and capped off his performance on Friday with one of his team's four tries. When questioned about the 21-year-old's place in the team, Cockerill had this to say.
If people play well, they deserve to get picked. So at this point, Darcy will play on Friday, or Saturday rather. I'm not sure I could sit with Darcy and justify not picking him. If he play well, he should stay in the team. Simple as that.
Should Edinburgh win or lose at the Altrad Stadium on Saturday evening, they will be rewarded with another tough match against Toulon. Bryce Donaldson, EN4 News.
And for other news in sport, Scotland goalkeeper Alan McGregor believes that Thursday's match against Israel will be a big challenge for the team, but reckons they can take a huge step towards qualification from their UEFA Nations League group with victory in Haifa.
It's a big opportunity, of course it is, especially with Israel beating Albania. So we want to win every game, that's just the way football is. And if we win on Thursday, it'll be massive for us.
However, two notable players have pulled out of the Scotland squad for the matches against Israel and Portugal. Celtic striker Lee Griffiths, who wants to focus on his fitness, and injured Bournemouth winger Ryan Fraser. One of the men tipped to replace Griffiths in the squad is Stephen Dobie. The 35-year-old has been in unstoppable form this season, scoring 24 goals in 15 games for Queen of the South. Gary Naismith, Dobby's manager at the Dumfries side, gave his thoughts on why he's playing so well.
The way that we set the team up, it's shooting them.
He's the first to admit that he's got a lot of thanks to give to the players playing him behind him. But at this moment in time, he is playing with a lot of confidence in everything that he seems to hit scoring in.
And Dundee United have appointed forward player Robbie Nielsen as their new manager. The 38-year-old has signed a two-year contract and comes in following previous boss Shabba Laszlo's sacking 10 days ago. Nielsen has previously worked in Scotland as head coach at Hearts. He was most recently at MK Dons but was sacked in January. That's all for today's sports news. Now back to Maria.
Thank you, John. And finally, the Edinburgh Film House is celebrating its 40th anniversary today. Scotland's leading independent cinema has hosted a variety of festivals and screenings over the years. For the past 40 weeks, the cinema has celebrated the anniversary by showing a range of golden oldies all the way from 1978, the year the cinema opened, up until today. Sebastian Fogstar headed down to the film house to join the celebrations.
Today marks the film house on Lothian Road's 40th year of screening action, romance and drama to the public. The celebration of the film house has put together a lineup of classic and notable films taken from the programmes of every year since its doors opened. Starting off with the celebration with movies from 2016 and finishing up with a film shown in 1978. In addition, with the movies going back in time, so do the prices of entry, creating a nostalgic feel to it. We spoke to Michael Hunter, marketing officer at the film house.
We started our first public screening was in October 1978, and it was The Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant by Rainer Werner Fassbinder. So kind of go big or go home. It was quite a strong curatorial choice right at the start. And we've kind of went forward in that art house vein for the 40 years of our existence.
The film house is the only cinema in Edinburgh registered as a charity, which in terms of cinema means it relies less on public financial support and can therefore keep its tickets reasonably priced. Later today, you'll be able to view the screening of the 1964 Danish drama Gertrud, which will have an entry price of £1. However, with every movie being screened for the film house anniversary, you'll be able to pay in today's prices with the difference going to charity.
Farvel, Axel. Tak for besøget. Tak for din bog.
Farvel, Gertrud.
To Michael Hunter, marketing officer at the film house.
Today we're showing Gertrud, which is Carol Dreyer's film, which we actually showed in the very first week of Film House back in 1978.
I wonder if the audience is as excited to see Gertrud today as they were 40 years ago. Signing off, Sebastian Fogstad, EN4 News.
Now for the weather and traffic here at EN4 News. The weather in Edinburgh today is cloudy, 15 degrees and a chance of rain. Cloud breaks are expected in the east, whereas the west is experiencing heavy rain. Due to high winds affecting driving conditions, drivers are advised to be cautious when crossing the Forth Road Bridge. Here are the closing headlines. The S&P conference comes to an end in Glasgow today. First Minister Nicola Sturgeon is promoting a message of hope and optimism to her party. The City of Edinburgh Council spent over £8.4 million last year on expert consultants. This includes £1.5 million on the tram extension before councillors had approved the project. Contractors for the Meadowbank Sports Centre redevelopment are set to be chosen this week, despite questions over the council's funding. The £45 million project is facing a £24 million shortfall. That's all from us here at EN4 News. I'm Maria Grant. Thank you for listening and have a good afternoon.
Hear it. Feel it. Listen again at www.radioenrg.net.